Recorded Books presents Arabella, The Traitor of Mars. The Adventures of Arabella Ashby, Book 3, by David D. Levine, narrated by Bianca Amato. Part 1. Earth, 1816. 1. The Victory Jubilee. Arabella descended the steps beside London Bridge in a great rush, Captain Singh and Fox and Lady Corey following behind at a more stately pace. Spread out below across the frozen river lay the Victory Jubilee, celebrating the final defeat of Napoleon at the Battle of Venus. It was night, and the lights of the festival reflected dully from the ice below, echoing the stars which winked crisply in the black sky above.
"Do be careful," Captain Singh called.
"La, sir, you are far too cautious," she called back coquettishly.
"But we have not yet proved your foot upon ice."
Captain Singh had been born in India, and despite being widely travelled on Earth, Mars and Venus, and the interplanetary atmosphere between, had little experience of ice or snow. His formality, caution and intellect were at once his most endearing and most annoying qualities. Arabella herself had little more experience with ice than her husband. Her previous sojourn on Earth had not included any such phenomenon as this, but so delighted was she at the prospect of the Jubilee that she refused to be deterred.
"Pshaw," she replied, laughing, "it has functioned perfectly thus far."
Nonetheless, she checked her pace at the bottom of the stairs, stepping cautiously onto the scuffed, translucent surface. The paths were laid with sand to provide steady footing, but so great was the pedestrian traffic that the sand was constantly swept aside. But her artificial foot's clockwork mechanism was performing as designed, mimicking the natural foot spring on each step, and she found her footing to be entirely acceptable. Though she had confidence in the design that she and Captain Singh had worked out together after her injury in the closing moments of the Battle of Venus, and constructed during the subsequent voyage to Earth, she was pleased that it functioned well in this unusual circumstance. And a very unusual circumstance it was, as the Thames very rarely froze over and had not done so in nearly 20 years. The current exceptionally cold temperatures were due to the eruption of Mount Tambora in the Dutch East Indies, whose dust girdled the globe and blocked the rays of the life-giving sun. The planet's veil of smoke had been plainly visible from above upon Arabella's recent approach to Earth. "We are quite fortunate," Lady Corey had declared, "that our ships of the air are able to observe and report upon this and other phenomena of the planetary atmosphere. If not, we would be shivering in the dark, with no idea how long the phenomenon will persist, and not even know the reason why." Taking her attention away from the ice, Arabella looked out across the Jubilee. The scene reminded her in some ways of the weekly market in Fort Augusta on Mars, with rows of stalls and shops and stands selling all manner of souvenirs, food and drinks, whose smoke perfumed the chill air deliciously. It was also reminiscent of the Mars docks, not too many miles away, with huge follies of wood and paper and vast fabric pavilions taking the place of the Marsmen and other aerial ships there assembled. In terms of population, it resembled the most crowded balls she had attended during her previous visit to England, but multiplied 1,000-fold, and spread out across the ice between the bridges. The babble of conversation, music, and the braying of animals was nearly deafening. Her companions caught her up as she presented her ticket to one of the men who stood at the base of each stairway. These men, mostly watermen and lightermen, unemployed by the freezing of the Thames, charged threepence for admission to the ice and a penny to depart. It was their only income until the river should clear, and Arabella had paid it gladly. Surely such a spectacle as this would never recur in her lifetime, and she intended to take in every...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?